soft ass bitch. Wake up, son. Come on, Paul, wake up. Just look at this soft ass bitch.
Wake up, nigga.
Oh. Oh, fuck. I thought this shit was a dream. What happened? Good to see you, by the way.
I told you this would happen, Paul.
You knew I'd do this to myself? I thought you were both on my side. Why would you let this happen to me, man?
We knew you weren't gonna die. It's not on my watch, it's just a process you need to get through, feel me? Paul, although there are many passages toward ascent, there are two that tend to be the route that most incarnate spirits take. The first being a path of virtue, and the other, baptism through fire. While everyone is concerned about your well-being, Demonica is worried sick. Dawn and I come from a higher order that understands your trials as part of a greater whole. See, your past experiences have led you to escape the emotional turmoil. They've become the ghosts that haunt you. These are your demons, and they've controlled your thoughts, actions, and circumstances up until this day. Dominic and I know your vices, and have known them from the moment of your birth. Unfortunately, your pain has outweighed your ability to manage your virtues. Now, you must voice what has kept you shackled to these specters of your past, so that you may ascend to higher callings.
Wait, what do you mean?
Look inside, Paul.
Do I really have to get into this? That was all in the past. I'm here now. I'm in a fucking hospital bed. I have tubes in and out of my fucking arms. I mean, I can do whatever you want me to do. I mean, I feel better. You can heal me, right? I mean, that's what you can do.
Vice and cower from your past, you will not be granted your old life. You will pass on. We're not actually speaking. We are communicating on the astral plane. You are unconscious.
I'm dead?
No. Just in limbo. Your first mission requires you to have stronger spiritual faculties. London is dying, Paul. While the East has lost control to the powers of complete moral decay and its earthly representatives, the West still has a fighting chance. London is in the greatest need for defense against malicious forces that put life on this planet in danger. For you to really help, you must release the ghost of your past. Now, who was she? And why did the call bother you?
My stepsister. They were worried. My family was worried. They woke up one day and couldn't get a hold of me. missing for weeks at a time, and then I tried making it up to them when I got back, but kept everyone uneasy. They didn't know what I would do next. I met some woman at a bar one night.
Abstract motif.
Hey guys, it's December 7th, 2019. We're approaching the year 2020, the next decade. Kind of excited, to be honest. It's been making me reflect on my favorite albums, if anything. I'm a big audiophile, as you can see. I have some stuff compiled for what I would list as my favorites of the decade, but I feel sometimes it's just too vast, you know? I'm sure if, like, you think about it yourself, it's a very vast topic. You probably have, like, a couple albums in mind, or, I don't know, maybe you're just really diligent with it and you have, like, a whole catalog of it, but I don't know. It's going to take me to some time in order to compile a list worthy of releasing to my friends or my social group or even to you guys. But time has passed. I believe the last episode I released was maybe Halloween night, which is about a month and a few days ago. So since then, I had gone on tour. I don't know if I talked about that last time. I'd gone on tour with Christopher Sky and Sace from Germany, from Potsdam, Germany. Great bunch of boys. Ambient sets all around. Started off in Los Angeles, headed up to San Francisco, made our way through Portland, and ended up in Seattle, where we dropped the German boys off. Got to visit an old friend, Heidi Townsend, who you're going to hear from in just a bit. That was a pleasure in itself. Good times had by all. Very hospitable bunch. Her and a now mutual friend, Chris, who you will also hear from. Not the Chris that you know and love from Christopher Sky, but a different one altogether. Another thing that has passed is my birthday. I turned 33 years old, so I'm soon fossilizing. And I don't know, it feels good. I feel like there's less anxiety in your 30s, and I know that's kind of cliche to say it gets better in your 30s, but it kind of does. And I don't know if that's either resignation or just kind of accepting life as it is since you've grown into yourself. And I really think that's what it is. I don't really feel as resigned as I had been in, like, the mid and late 20s, but I definitely do feel like I'm coming more into myself. So when I was on tour with the boys, because the thing is, I'm really one for preferences. I talk about preferences all the time. And, you know, having an anthropological background, I like to question whether it's a biological topic or if it's something culturally embedded. But the thing is, like, a lot of times preferences are culturally embedded. Like, for example, being someone that's fairly sexual, I think about sexual preferences a lot. And not just, like, sexual orientation. I'm just talking about, like, straight-up body parts, if I can be blunt. And there is actually Pacific Islander... there's a culture in the Pacific Islands that fetishizes the back of women's knees. So that part where it bends, they fetishize that. And it's pretty fascinating because it's just like they're an isolated island and these kinds of things develop. But I think that there are definitely also biological preferences. When things taste rotten, I'm pretty sure that's a biological mechanism to get rid of rancid food and to expel it from the body before it, you know, contaminates our system. And there are complex things like what I want to talk about tonight, which is what I've coined, I don't know if this is, I mean, I could probably just be butchering all these ideas with just some stupid term I kind of invented, or at least I think I invented, but civic compatibility. On tour, I was talking to Chris, because we were pretty much like co-pilots the entire time. Like, you know, could you see yourself here? Who could you see yourself here with? Or like, who of our friends can you imagine living here? And of course, we came up with different ideas, different friends, and like we kind of speculated where each of us would belong. You know, I thought Chris would do well in Seattle, and he brought up that he might do well in Scotland. And you know what? Like, it wasn't my first guess, but I do agree. I agree that he might do well in Seattle. I mean, excuse me, in Scotland. It suits his temperament in ways that I wouldn't have really at first guessed. And I've pondered a lot about this throughout, you know, my own life, because I've essentially been traveling since I was 18, and it pains me when I'm not able to, whether if I've have prior engagements or I'm locked down at work, or I just simply have money invested in other places, like, you know, buying gear or, you know, just going out with friends and whatnot, you know. But I love getting around, and I don't see myself here for long. And, yeah, and I think that that's partially maybe a response to my home environment, my family environment, my upbringing especially, as well as the culture I was exposed to growing up. But we'll save that for later. Let's get to our first survey. So our first guest is a gentleman by the name of Pork, who now resides in Bear Hole, California. And let's see what he has to say about civic compatibility and his experiences with it.
This is Pork King, tuning in for Abstract Motif, answering the civic compatibility questionnaire in an audio format. Question one. Name or alias, Pork King, like I said. Occupation or life pursuit? Well, my occupation right now, the only thing I'm actually making money with is giving piano lessons, but it's not supporting me by any means, but I'm a full-time student. And I think my life pursuit is sheer meaningfulness. Current location, California, District 1. Have you ever had the desire to move to another city, state, or country? Yes. And here I am. I've had the desire. Actually, when I was younger, I remember camping and listening to this song that was famous in the 90s about, they call it the sunscreen song. And then it's basically some guy giving life advice with a beat or something in the background. And he says everyone should live in New York once in their lifetime, but for a while, lest they become too hardened. And then I think the opposite was said for California. You should also live in California for a bit. And that resonated with me. I always liked that idea of not necessarily going to places to escape where I am or to even to end up there, but to fulfill the archetypal hero's journey. Go learn a lesson, go out of my comfort zone, be exposed to something that I'm usually not exposed to, and then come back with those lessons, with those new tools. And I think that might come from a root of being at home and wishing for more or hoping for some greater sense. And, you know, you hear stories, you watch movies, people that travel. One guy that I met when I did a lot of camping trips as a kid, and this guy at a McDonald's came up, and he was just a quintessential hobo. He didn't have it, but he might as well have had the stick over his shoulder with a little, like, sheet tied to hold his belongings at the end of the stick, like they do in cartoons. But anyway, he was talking to me about train hopping, riding the rails around the U.S., and I was like, what? No, that's only in movies. can't be serious, but he was totally serious. And there's no way of verifying that. But looking back, now that I've met more people that have done it and just know that it's a thing firsthand, those kind of stories would excite me. But there's too many to enumerate. That's just one that I happened to think about recently. Okay, so that's why. I've already living away, why? Well, in this particular case, I'm living in 2 months for school. But as far as why I chose this school out of the infinite amount, almost, practical reasons. I'm within California, so I have cheaper prices on tuition, cheaper rate. Also, out of all the schools, I think there was 12 options that had the program that I wanted in California that were state schools, therefore cheaper. This one was the lowest population and or most rural. And that was the primary reason why I chose it, because I just didn't want to live in a city. I didn't want to have to drive, ideally. And that has since come true for the most part. And I suppose, to a degree, I was moving away from LA as well, from Whittier. I think there's an element of stagnation and clash with cultures. And I think there's another question about that further on. Would you consider yourself relatively sedentary, fixed to one or only a couple of places, or nomadic? I would probably identify more with the sedentary, although I don't really like that word, the rooted, maybe a better way to say it. Or I like to think of it about having a garden to cultivate, whether it's literal or just with your friendships and relationships to the community itself and the place. I think I was nomadic for a while, but I don't ever think I was truly nomadic in the sense that there was no place that I conceptualized as home. I always had that. Whittier has always been home and still is, really. And so I've always envisioned it as kind of like a tether ball from those tether ball courts that I had in my elementary school. There's a ball at the end of a rope attached to a pole in the middle, and he swings around. You know, the ball swings all around and goes all over the place, but it's always tethered. I don't know why I always envision that when I think of this concept. Same as anchored. I might have been sailing across the sea, but the anchor was always reaching back to Whittier. But, you know, if everyone that I befriended in Whittier and grew to love in Whittier moved to a different place, like a whole new town where everyone moved there, I think I'd quickly learn that Whittier is just a place. I mean, I love the hills, and the physical place does mean something too, but it's not. My family comes from Ireland, and before that, just, you know, ancient. I feel like I don't really have any true attachments or deeper attachments to the land here. But for sure, from childhood and those kinds of things. But I think it's the relationships really what matter in the end. Where's your birthplace, hometown? Whittier, what is your relationship with that place? I've just been talking about that. How'd you know what to ask next? Well, I love it at this point. And I was just there a week ago, and it felt so good to be there and see friends and hang out. And I truly love it. I think I just had great memories and good times. And bad times, of course, but what I mostly feel and remember are those good times. So I think I'll always love that place as long as there's enough people that I feel like it's home. Something interesting is I did live in another city for 2 years, and that was Berlin, and I made a lot of friendships there and good memories, and it was an important time in my life from 20 to 22. But now I feel like surely I'll be connected to certain physical locations, such as this bridge that I used to call the Würdegangbrücke, which is just like the appreciation bridge that I would pass over on my way to work for about a year at least, or a year and a half. And I would always stop on that bridge and look over the Spree River, over Trepp Tower Park, and just think about what I was thankful for that week and grateful for in general. And yeah, for sure, I got to go there if I'm going to go back to Berlin, and that's special. But as far as the relationships, the people that I met there were from all over the world and were, like me, temporarily there. So I'm going to go back there in about 6 months or 8 months from now, and I think it'll be a trip because I really have very little connection relationship-wise there. The family that I worked for, and then maybe two or three people that I'm not particularly close with. So I think that highlights, I mean, if everyone was still there, oh my God, I'd love that place. And then there's another place that I've spent a different amount of time, but overall I've spent months at a time there over a 5 or 6 or maybe now 7 year period. Yeah, 7, about that. And that's here in California, but it's in Northern California, even more north of where I am now. And I have a lot of friends there and a lot of strong connections. And although that has changed a bit over the years and my relationships have shifted and altered, I feel connected to that place. But also take away all those people and I'm not that connected to there. I think they would be though, because they've spent more time and I'm just more like a visitor. Anyway, do the values of where you are now conflict with your own? What values are not in sync? Well, there's always, I feel like no matter where I go, my values are going to conflict with a lot of people. And as I mentioned before, something I like to do is ride a bike. And not only like it, but I think it's just a better way of being. It makes you happier, saves money, it's good for health, less likely to kill someone or cause serious bodily harm to another person by accident, which I think is such an intense risk that people like don't think about. Coming from Whittier, in a place where everyone drives and it's just so normal to go to the store, I can't help but think, like, I'm wielding this really dangerous tool. And to what end? Is this so I could go to the store, like something that I could have walked to reasonably? Less so in Whittier, I totally recognize that. But to bike to, for sure, there's so many places. But I mean, I think it's an amazing technology driving. And for me, it's opened the door to visiting all these places because I've hitchhiked and driven, and I'm so thankful for it. But I also just feel like it needs to be fully recognized that it's so dangerous. So anyway, that being said, as far as the culture or the values of the place that I'm in, everyone loves driving, and less so here compared to LA. I'm just surprised that I'm such a minority in that. Same with TV. Everyone loves TV. And I just say everyone, but I just mean a lot of the people that I'm exposed to in day-to-day life at school, just like regular student college people. Love TV, love driving, love Snapchat. And I'm just saying things that I don't particularly love. And I'm not like so against them or anything. And half students, young, and then there's obviously everything in between, all the subcultures of artists and so many different little worlds. But I like that it's mixed and balanced here. I don't feel like it's something like a commune would be one extreme where everyone thinks the same way, and then Portland would be somewhere toward that end of the spectrum. And then I think kind of in the middle, or probably more towards the open-minded side of things. And then you have like little rural Midwest towns or something that would be just on the other end of the spectrum, but somehow similar to the communes or something where everyone shares the same opinion, but in this case just often different sets of beliefs and opinions. But so I think at least in Whittier, that's something I love, just the taste, the aesthetic taste of my friends and how that shapes how we, you know, interact with the world. And I think I've gained a lot of that I can take here. It's like the mobile feast or something. But then there's, you know, I love home. I feel like I could, if Whittier was just not full of traffic and all that stuff, and it was the same people were here, and oh my God, that'd be heaven. It'd be so fun. Plus people. You know, there's a lot of things in LA culture that I don't know, they're almost like sleazy or something. I don't know, just the kind of talk. It feels less wholesome than my world here in Chico or something. But I also love it. It's got edge, an edge that doesn't have, that I appreciate and realize I thrive with in small doses, such as visiting. What does being in a different place offer you? That it offers lessons to be learned and strengths to be grown. And challenges to be met specifically for me because it's smaller and because I'm coming here after having traveled and learned lessons and whatnot. I feel like I'm coming in from a strong point of view, or from a place of strength in my confidence in, you know, and I was able to use that strength to face challenges such as like joining a choir, something I always wanted to do but was too scared or didn't think I was good enough for. And then it's easier here because there's not a competition necessary as much, and it's a small town. People are just happy with what they can get, kind of thing. I feel like it's easier to become part of the community and be connected with this person and that person, and LA is overwhelming, and it's, you know, you have to like fully dedicate yourself to one thing if you want to get that done. But I can hear, be part of a choir, be part of the nursing world. I think if I was in LA, to do all those things, I would have had to dedicate myself fully to one of them to be able to compete. But here they're just like, I expected to be like the worst one, and all of a sudden I look around, I'm like, okay, well maybe I'll do the lead then. It's really the second time that I've been somewhere to stay and live that I didn't know anyone else. It's the first time, really, because I went to Costa Rica and I lived by myself, but I had friends there that were my anchor point. And here, I didn't have any anchor point except for a mutual friend that I just didn't really know, and she let me stay at her house one night. But other than that, one night, and not really seeing her again, I've just been here alone and started from scratch, and that's been coming from a place of having learned different lessons and grown in lots of different ways. I was able to shape my reality with more precision and with more intent, and not let in people into my life that I could tell are going to be negative influences, and to seek out people that would be positive influences, and to create the community that I want. And for the most part, that's the case. Most people in my life are people that I'm just so glad they're in my life here and are pushing me to grow in different ways. The negative sides that linger still are that I'm disconnected from friends and relationships in Whittier, and not completely because of technology and everything and being able to visit, but, you know, just being able to play music with someone, for example. If Derek was here, that'd be great. Not if everyone was, but I'm just thinking specifically for playing music, that'd be awesome. So that's a negative aspect. You know, you build relationships, and then ideally you build them for something, not just to... That was the weird thing about traveling. You build relationships, and then you often never see the person or hear from them again. And it's not like you invest so much time, because otherwise you would hear from them again, but it just feels rough after a while. But anyway, the negative side is having built all these relationships and community in Whittier and not really getting to bask in that, or, you know, enjoy it or utilize it. But I get to go home for 2 days, and people that I'm close with, I see, and that always feels good. So it's not in vain, totally. But some things are in vain, and that's the hard part. What 3 places in the world would you choose to have grown up in, live in, adulthood, retire? So, grown up in, I think if I could have not grown up in LA, there's better places for sure. I think I'd like to be part of, I would wish to have grown up in a place that was a tighter community. So, in an Amish community in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's probably the happiest people. Live in adulthood. Hey, maybe somewhere like Berlin. Depends on what you want to do, but for me, I don't know. Somewhere where I can, it's great, here I am in adulthood. And I think it'll be a great place, and then retire. I don't know. I feel like these places all should line up to be the same, actually. Ideally, that would be the most ideal. For wherever it is, the place itself matters less, but I love the idea of going out and traveling and learning lessons, but actually having a community that you're tied to, that your grandparents and great-great-grandparents used to live in. And if you could make that so you could be around your family and your family's family and your friends and strong ties to a community over generations, it's probably the best thing. So if that happens in Whittier, but there's stressors in Whittier that make it less desirable to do it. And there's things about people that aren't great too, like the summer's not good, and I don't know, there's the fires, and yeah, no, there's no perfect place anyway.
It's always so lovely to hang out with Porik, and equally as lovely to have him as a guest on my podcast. And it's really refreshing to hear him talk about Berlin, because that's a period of our lives where I feel like we coincided. That was one of our, I guess you would call it a nexus, or you'd call it a node of contact and a node of familiarity, because while we both also share a home base, which is Whittier, we also share an experiential point of our lives in Berlin. And while I didn't live there nearly to the extent that he did, I definitely do recall very fond memories of being there several times. And even up until like last winter, actually literally a year ago to the day, I was in Berlin. And it was one of the reasons was because of his homestead back then. And yeah, been there during winter, been there during summer, probably spring. I recall a time where I had gone and used Berlin as a home base for this festival outside of, I think it was called Hans and Gloria. Fernelli was putting it on, or he was at least helping putting it on. And it was because of that festival or that time in Berlin that I had gotten in trouble at work and fired because of that. So, yeah, I just got lost in love at that point, I guess. And, but yeah, these are very formulative places, you know, and they're determined by the people that we share it with, I suppose. Otherwise, yeah, like the thing is, I also recall living in Copenhagen and experiencing the type of loneliness that Pork's talking about. Even though I had already known people there, there's a different type of vibe when you vacation in a place and you're meeting up with other friends, even if they're foreign friends at that time, especially Nordic countries, where when it gets cold, it seems to shut down. But that's just a geographical, cultural thing, I suppose. But when you decide to really, like, you know, bunker down and move to a different place, it does get lonely. And that's something that, you know, one has to prepare themselves for. But yeah, really good hearing from Porik. Just saw him recently for his birthday / Thanksgiving. I believe his birthday is on the 27th. Sagittarius. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know it's Bruce Lee's birthday. So if you Wikipedia Bruce Lee, you're going to see that that's pretty much the same birthday as Porik. Yeah, so next in line, we have a submission from Dallas, Texas. Let's see here. Okay, question one. Name or alias? Morgan. Question two. Current location? Dallas, Texas. Question three. Have you ever had the desire to move to another city, state, country, and why? Morgan replies, yes. I've always had the desire to move to a different country, but definitely something more attainable like another city or state. I've had this desire because if I were to move to a new place, it would be like starting my life over, which goes perfectly in line with Porik and I, with what Porik and I agree with, and the sentiment of feeling lonely when hunkering down in a new environment to live. She continues, getting to meet new people and leaving the past behind. Number five, would you consider yourself relatively sedentary, fixed to one or only a couple of places, or nomadic? Not in imagining yourself tethered to a place for long. Why, if other explain? She says, I don't consider myself to be sedentary at all. Although I may seem to be comfortable in Dallas, and she spells it with two S's, it's hard to find a city that meets or exceeds the quality of living here, so I have to be cautious with my choice because moving to another location is a huge step. And I understand this is a, especially, you know, the more we become adults, or the more we are adults, I should say, you know, starting from 18 years old, the more we really have to be prudent with our decisions. Number six, where is your birthplace / hometown? What is your relationship with that place? And expand. My birthplace, she says, is New Orleans, Louisiana, which is the total opposite of conservative Dallas. I moved to Texas about 20 or so years ago, before Katrina. And I do believe it was the best decision. In my opinion, New Orleans is not a great city to raise children, but it's definitely a city to make them in, LOL. The food is amazing. The people are warm, the history, the mystery, and the nightlife is to die for. Actually, the nightlife in New Orleans is 24/7, so I guess you can understand why Texas was a better choice for me. I do visit every now and then, but after a week I want to leave. But NOLA is home, so it will always have a special place in my heart. You know, I always hear good things about New Orleans. It'd be nice to visit sometime. Okay. Number seven, do the values of where you are now conflict with your own? What values are not in sync? Not major city conflicts, but definitely conflicts, she continues, with the people that live in the city. With any city, just like finding a spouse, it's impossible to get everything you desire in one place, which is why traveling is important, so that I can meet people in other parts of the country / world. Dallas, and she continues to spell it with two S, is very conservative, and one of the main conflict values I've faced is lack of diversity. Interracial dating is seen as taboo, but when I've traveled to other cities in Texas and in the country, it was a normal thing for people. Number eight, what values are not in sync with your own in your hometown? She replies, the values that aren't in sync with New Orleans would be modesty. And everyone knows how wild that place is. Another would be health, because you can find unhealthy food and alcohol at all times of the day in that city. But if you want to have a hedonistic time, then that's your place. I'm not going to lie, I consider myself quite a hedonist. That's me, not Morgan. Number nine, what does being in a different place offer you? She says, being in another place would definitely help me redefine myself, be more adventurous, open my mind to trying new things, and meet new people, which I struggle with here in Dallas. It would be like having a clean slate. Number 10, are you a traveler? Yes, I am a traveler, but not as much as I would like to be. How has being in a new location negatively and positively affected you? Being in a new location when traveling has had minor negative effects, like not knowing where anything is or the safety of an area, but the positive effects outweigh those because I get to talk to people in that area to get a feel for where I am. And I also get suggestions on food and entertainment. Next up, we have a new friend of mine by the name of Chris. He has a lot to talk about, and he has some similar perspectives in regards to living in new places. Let's hear from him.
What's going on, Abstract Motif? This is Chris Penman, just tuning in to answer a couple questions that I got sent my way. Again, my name is Chris Penman, aka Chris Penman. My occupation at the moment is I'm actually unemployed, but I got a job offer today, so I'm onto that and onto some new things. At the moment, my life pursuit is, that's a tough one. Right now, I'm trying to sideline over into marketing from sales. So I'm just kind of making a couple leapfrog career path decisions at the moment just to kind of eventually end up where I want to be. So I'm just kind of in the midst of chaos right now, just trying to put some order to it. My current location is Portland, Oregon. I've lived here in Portland, Oregon since 2014. That's when I got out of the Navy, the good old Navy. Have you ever had the desire to move to another city, state, or country? Why? I've had, due to my Navy experience, I've had the opportunity to live in other places. Most notably was Japan, where I lived for about 3 years. I was lucky enough to be stationed in mainland Japan. A lot of people who are in the military that spend time over there typically end up getting stationed in Okinawa, which is great, but that's just a very different environment than mainland Japan. It's almost culturally different on almost every level. And Japanese people just have some sort of like rivalry with Okinawa for, you know, all kinds of historical and cultural reasons. But anyway, I was lucky enough to be in mainland on a base called Atsugi. And what made this duty station so cool was that I was basically 45 minutes from Tokyo. So every weekend I spent in Tokyo for about 3 years. I mean, it was pretty cool. And looking back on it, I almost now realize how actually surreal the whole experience really was. Living there for 3 years, you do kind of take it for granted after a while, just because, you know, it's your everyday and you're used to it. But that being said, the question is, basically, would I decide to move to another city, state, or country? And the reason I brought up Japan is because I would move there. I would totally live there. I think there's a lot of things changing with that country right now that may actually make it a little bit more affordable to live there in the future. You know, granted, I've got to get a lot of things straight in my life before I just move to some, you know, country that's just on a whole other program and different language. pretty much everything is different there. I would totally, I would move to Japan. As far as states are concerned, where would I move? I don't know. I love Portland. Portland, Oregon's awesome. Maybe Seattle. I could, that'd be another lifestyle change. I feel like I got to make a little bit more moolah to enjoy living in Seattle if I ever chose to make that transition. The reason I like Seattle a little bit more than Portland is I feel like it's got just about everything that Portland does. What it is missing that Portland has is, you know, Seattle really doesn't have that, you know, small town kind of vibe. You really do feel like you've kind of graduated into a, you know, a much more substantial size city. But, you know, at the same time, a lot of Seattle's features really match up with Portland. Great food all around. I love living in a city where you can pretty much get around everywhere on bike or, you know, public transit. That makes things, you know, pretty easy. Plus, Seattle's kind of difficult to have a car just with traffic and all that. But that's neither here nor there. I would totally live there as well, especially if I could live on one of the islands right outside of Seattle, like Bainbridge Island or something like that. Just kind of beautiful places by the city, take the ferry. You're secluded, but connected at the same time. Would you consider yourself relatively sedentary, fixed to one or only a couple places, or nomadic, not imagining yourself tethered to one place for long? Why, if other, explain. That's a great question. I moved a lot growing up. If you looked at pretty much anybody that I've talked to that's asked where I've lived and, you know, things like that, when I tell them everywhere I've been, they thought I grew up in some kind of military household. But I kind of noticed a pattern growing up that it seemed as though I never stayed anywhere for, you know, more than 3 years. 3 years seemed to be this just kind of magical number. I grew up with my mom, single mom. And so every time an opportunity for her would change, you know, I'm just, you know, tied to her. So we would just go wherever she went, wherever her job went, wherever she, you know, like I said, saw a new opportunity, we would just go. So growing up, I lived in California for, you know, many years, but moved a lot within California. And California itself can be like, you know, living in different states, depending on how far you move within the state. But I was born in Sacramento, you know, lived there for a couple years when I was, you know, a toddler. Lived in San Diego for about 6 years, but moved in, you know, two pretty distinct places, you know, changed schools, kind of uprooted. I lived in Canada for a little bit with a Honduran family for a while. That's as random to you as it is to me, thinking back on it. It's kind of a trip. But yeah, we lived in a huge house with a Honduran family. There were probably about 10 members of the family that lived in there. That was interesting. And it was in Canada, so pretty far and removed from where you'd think that situation might happen. Let's see. Where is your birthplace, hometown? What is your relationship with that place? Expand. I grew up in Sacramento, Southern California, and like I said, you know, North Carolina and Canada. You know, when you don't live in places for too long, you never really grow roots there. So you don't, you know, like basically like going to high school. I lived in Texas as well during high school, pretty much the whole time I was in high school. So there's that too. But one thing that I noticed, especially when I stepped into high school, was that you do, I feel like you could always say this, that like the popular kids or like the most well-known kids at a school, you could almost kind of attribute their well-knownness to the amount of time that they've kind of interfaced with the same people and been in the same classes and within the same school district. And so, you know, as you kind of pan out a little bit, these kids are just a little bit more relative. You know, they know more people. They have a little bit more, you know, connections and kind of a network going on, whether they realize it or not. Just kind of staying in the same spot, you know, for so long just naturally does that, unless you're a, you know, a complete recluse. But the point there is that when you move so much, you never really have the opportunity to do that. And in, you know, instead, what I'd always find myself doing is every time I was introduced to, you know, a new school, I kind of find myself, you know, instantly just diving headfirst into friends groups and, you know, just trying to meet people and whatnot. But, you know, all these experiences, because you don't have roots in all these places that you seem to just only live for, you know, in, you know, 2 years or 3 years at a time, you just don't ever really, you know, curate a relationship with the place you live at. And it's funny too, because when people ask me, because I'll say, oh, you know, oh, you know, this person's from California. And, you know, if I ever chime in, it's just like, oh yeah, you know, I kind of grew up in some parts of California. And they'll bring up certain spots and, you know, oh, did you ever go here? And did you ever do that? And it's just like, dude, you know, I didn't drive when I lived there. So I don't, I just don't remember any of this stuff. None of it was really relative to my life. You know, as a little kid, the place you live in doesn't really mean anything to you. That's not really something that you truly identify with until you get a little bit older and kind of expand, or kind of the ideology of the place you live in kind of grows in your mind a little bit. anyway, on to the next. Do the values of where you are now conflict with your own? What values are not in sync? Expand. I'd say this is a great question. I've always noticed that people really do kind of flock to places where they're, you know, kind of in tune or in line with, you know, the other people that live there or, you know, whatnot. And people also kind of get shaped by the place they live, you know, just the onslaught of, you know, certain opinions and whatnot. Every city has a flavor. And, you know, Portland is definitely not secluded from that. Portland has just such a unique vibe to it. It really, you know, and I hate to kind of quote Portlandia, but there was one time on Portlandia where they basically said, you know, Portland is where, you know, 20 somethings go to retire. And what I realized is I actually think that's a great thing. What I realized when I moved here was that, you really can live in a place where people really value their personal time more than they value the, you know, the constant hustle and the constant, you know, thrive, or, you know, whatever, the rat race, you know, however you want to put it. And, you know, I'm a pretty ambitious person, but at the same time, it's very nice to live somewhere where you're just constantly reminded by the city itself that shit's just not a big deal, dude. Like, it ain't, nothing's that serious. You can get where you're going. It's all good. You know, if you want to work at a fucking coffee shop for 5 years while you get some other hobbies in line and do some other shit, do it, man. Live your life. And it's interesting because when you live somewhere and you don't feel like you're directly judged for your lifestyle, or that maybe you're an oddball, or you're, you know, you're kind of not doing the, you know, the normal path to success or whatever the fuck, you know, it is. It's just nice to be reassured that, hey, man, I, you know, where I live, the people I hang out with, the people that are all around me, the people that make up this city, it almost feels like people here are a little bit more in tune with just living life than they are, you know, the just the heavy work sacrifice, which is 100% necessary. But you juxtapose that with, you know, a place like New York City or LA or shit, even Seattle, you know, what I was saying earlier, you can find where that has merit. You know, on the same token, the other side of the coin, you know, living in LA, if you, or New York, I mean, if you really want to, if you're building something and you just, you want a bunch of people who are just thriving and, or, you know, looking to thrive and just foaming out of the mouth to get things done and do things, then, you know, that's the place for that. The other thing too about Portland that I love, I feel like everything kind of starts with food. You know, we've got to eat to survive. And, you know, a lot of people say everything kind of boils down to sex, but I feel like everything kind of boils down to food and kind of what you put in your body. And I feel like Portland is so in tune with good food. There's not a whole lot, you know, the best restaurants in Portland are not chains. There are not a whole lot of chain restaurants out here. And all that really means to me is it just means that a bunch of the restaurants out here have they have more of a more control over what they're, you know, serving, and more control over their brand and whatever they're doing, whether it's a neighborhood style restaurant, which, you know, to me are some of the best in Portland, or maybe one of the nicer, you know, restaurants downtown or something like that. Everywhere you go here, you feel like you're eating great food, not just that it's prepared well, but that it was sourced well, that, you know, and that stuff just isn't that important to some people. And it shows itself in the, you know, in the community. And, you know, as you zoom out the city and state and area of the country, I mean, you know, living in North Carolina, man, I can't tell you how many, you know, how much sweet tea and, you know, fried chicken and cornbread and stuff that I ate, and mashed potatoes while I was there. And that it's just something that just comes with the territory almost, you know, especially if you're really just, you know, eating and you're not really going out of your way to really pay attention to what you're eating. You can just go live into a new state, you know, go move to a new state, and basically just sitting there, you're going to be inundated by the food, and what you're really being inundated by is people's opinion about food. If you're living somewhere where people are treating the food right, then that means that they're treating step one right. And I feel like everything just kind of cascades and comes after that. So I'll leave that where that's at. What does being in a different place offer you? Being in a different place can offer you many things, man. I moved to Portland kind of on a whim. When I was leaving Japan, my dad had moved to the Northwest from Dallas, Texas. And so when I was on my way from Japan, he told me, he's like, hey, man, I'm up here in the Northwest. You should come, you know, come visit, see if you like it. And I really had no idea about Portland. I didn't know anything about Portland before I decided to move here. And I can tell you that just flying over this state from Japan, I was in love already. I mean, you can just tell from the airplane that this is a beautiful spot. So as far as is, you know, what the state has to offer, man. I'm super into mushrooms and all that kind of stuff. You know, Oregon has one of the largest mycelium networks underneath its soil. What that does is it just creates an incredible amount of biodiversity in the state. There are parks here. There's one park called, I would slip in my mind. Painted Hills. And Painted Hills is probably one of the most surreal, just insane places I have ever viewed. I mean, just kind of standing in the midst of these hills and these kind of, you know, kind of plain type areas. These hills look like they are kind of like pastel colors have just been churned and mixed, you know, together. And they're just kind of, it's just kind of creating the scenery. And it's just one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in my life. And it's kind of all desert terrain. If you're able to move to a state or to an area that's pretty much in line with your personality, it's almost like every state or, you know, area really has a program overlaid over it. It has a certain flavor going on. And you know, that flavor is really projected by the people that live there. And when you move to a place that's more in line with you, I feel like you're going to have a little bit more of an easy time moving through that place and kind of achieving what it is that you want to achieve as an individual. And it's great to surround yourself and feel like you're surrounded by like-minded people in almost each and every direction. And it just makes it more optimal for the individual, because it's like you're lubed up, man. You can move freely through here. You can easily meet people and talk to people. And, you know, due to this, you know, vague commonality that you have with these people, you're kind of able to use that as a starting point or whatnot, you know. And usually it's really nothing. Sometimes it's really just the tone of your voice. And, you know, when somebody else talks to you, as soon as you hear the tone of their voice, or they hear the tone of yours, they can kind of dissect from that initially that, oh, this is a cool dude. This is a cool person. So when you move somewhere that you're in line with, you're just going to find that more often. And that can really be nothing but advantageous. Are you a traveler? No, not really. As you've probably picked up, I said I've moved to all these places. I've never lived anywhere more than 2 years, but I've been in Portland, Oregon since 2014. So I haven't done a whole lot of traveling since I've moved here. I've gone to some weddings, and, you know, that's really about it. I haven't really gone out of the state and done anything. And part of that just has to do with just changing jobs and, you know, doing different stuff. And honestly, really just not paying attention to traveling. So I got to answer that question as a hard no at the moment. But hopefully I'll be doing some traveling coming up soon. How has being in a new location negatively and positively affected you? Okay. Being in a new location has negatively affected me because change, man. Change is always initially viewed as negative. It's not that it's bad or good, but it, you know, change is usually something that we fret. You know, we don't always want to face it. What I usually like to compare it to is just, you know, kind of diving into black water at night. Sometimes you just got to make the change and dive in, man, and just kind of understand that nothing's really fucked you over too hard in the past, and hopefully that same pattern will continue as you move forward. But the second part of the question was positively. This place has completely had a very positive outlook on my life. It goes back to just making sure that you're in a place that's already in line with your ideals and ideology or whatever. And it makes it so that you have a kind of a more clean symbiotic relationship with the place that you live in, whether, you know, whatever you give to it and whatever you take and it gives back to you. Being in a place you match up with is key. So just due to my interest in the people that I've been around, I think I've grown, you know, spiritually and mentally. And, you know, since I've been here, I feel like, a little bit quieter, a little bit calmer than I used to be. And I feel like that, you know, in part really just has to do with being somewhere like this. You know, maybe it's the rain every day, or maybe it's the, you know, the gray sky and kind of the dampness of, you know, the area. But don't get me wrong, man. I do feel like it's actually sunny here just as much as it's not. But if you could choose, what three places in the world would you choose to have grown up in, live in adulthood, retire? Why? Okay. So if I could choose to have grown up in any spot, dude, it would have been fucking San Diego, man. I fucking loved San Diego. I had so much fun growing up there. The memories that I have, just all the things, you know, we were involved in and the things that we did. I wish I would have actually grown up there, you know, and really just lived there and, you know, gone through elementary, middle school and high school. And, you know, and I love who I am, and I love who, you know, who I've become, and my life has obviously created who I am, you know, half, so to speak. But yeah, I would have loved to just grown up there and just fucking stayed there instead of moving to North Carolina and in Texas. Where would I like to live in adulthood? Well, I'm in adulthood and I'm living in Portland and I'm loving it. And I plan to stay here for quite a while. So I'm going to go ahead and say that this is kind of my adulthood spot. This is where I stay at. 503-971. Where would I retire? Dude, I would totally move back to Japan in a fucking heartbeat. There's some interesting things going on with Japan right now. They have kind of an inverse pyramid population thing that's happening where basically they just don't have, they have more old folks than they do young folks. And you can, in a population of 129, you know, 130 some odd million people in a, on an island a little that can fit inside California, that's crazy, because that's just going to mean that it's going to take, you know, two or three generations where there is almost just a lopsidedness and a decline in the population that lives there. That's all going to change. That's going to eventually change, and it's going to change dramatically, because you're looking at an economy that's based on having a, you know, 130 million inhabitants. And if that gets, you know, severely, you know, diminished or whatnot, then, you know, they're going to look at other ways to bring people in, and they're probably going to dramatically change. And I think that about wraps this up, man. If you got any more questions for me, let me know. But again, this has been Chris Penman, a.k.a. Chris Penman, for Abstract Motif. Cheers, y'all. Peace.
Yeah, it's interesting because regarding Portland does, first off, the food is, it really is incredible. Like, I was actually really blown away by that. And it is nice the way it's really laid back, but for some reason, and it's taken me a while to come to this conclusion, and it's not because it never just, it, I needed to work up to the conclusion, but it's just the more the matter of, like, I'm not really one to visit smaller cities, but it's just a bit too slow for me. You know, don't get me wrong, like, I love the city, and I could see myself spending a bit of time there, you know, as far as, like, a spending time at a sauna or a spa goes, but I love big cities, and I love the pace. I love fast. I mean, just bring it, you know? And that's the refreshing part about visiting Seattle for the first time this past month or whatever, was that it was like Portland, but just more upbeat. You know, there's just bigger, and I liked it, you know? I really liked that feeling. So I understand what Chris was talking about. And regarding foreign culture and then being in Japan, like, it's always interesting living in a foreign country where you have to kind of adapt to certain customs and witness certain mores and norms and stuff like that. And I'm really happy Chris got to experience that himself, especially in Japan, which I've never been to. Especially, yeah, Tokyo, I mean.
Man, you're wearing some Bobos.
Let's take a break for some new music. On second thought, it's actually not really new music. I played a little bit of it last time. This is the full version of Victoria Line. And the interesting thing about this is that I've had nothing but weird technical issues. And the thing is, I've been using this digital audio workstation since 2010. So I know a lot of the ins and outs about it. I mean, of course, I'm not a master, but I definitely know my way around this program. And since it's been tied to the historical chapel, there's been a lot of weird instances. And I'm not saying that it's, I mean, let's be scientific about it. I mean, there must be some sort of logical thing. Maybe I just set up the template wrong going into it, but it definitely feels haunted the way things just kind of move around. And it's just been somewhat of a headache to deal with. In either case, here is the full version of Victoria Line in its completion, and I hope you enjoy it. Friend of Chris and mine. Let's see what Heidi has to say about civic compatibility.
My name is Heidi Townsend, and I live in Northwest Portland, Oregon. I moved in the summer of 2012 or 2013, I can't remember right now. I worked as a brand manager managing a salon here in downtown Portland in Westside Bend. I moved from my hometown in North Fullerton in Orange County, California. I had moved from the same house I lived in my entire childhood. When I first felt that I needed to be in Portland when I was 13 or 14, listening to all the tight bands at the Saddle Creek record label, Whenever I would look up where the bands were playing, although I knew I wasn't allowed to go to the shows, oh, and I grew up in a very conservative Christian home, these bands would always be playing in Portland. After learning more and more about Portland, I became obsessed and decided I was going to move after high school. I was drawn to how it was a smaller, more intimate city and how they clearly had a big appreciation for music and art. I've never been an artistic person. I figured out quick I'm better as an admirer. The values of Portland align with mine, and after moving here, I did obtain some. Specifically, I have a better understanding of just why people here are so on top of being eco-aware. After being here and coming home, camping in California, I realized that in general, the people were obnoxious, lazy, and very inconsiderate, even in nature, like straight no shame. The amount of times I've seen garbage left on campsites, that seems like giving someone their birthday card at camp, at grandma's funeral, or lighting a candle in a tissue paper store. Being here has given me the opportunity to be more independent and not have to kill myself as much as I would in California, seeing as how expensive it is. Also, there's an unexpected amount of European people living here, so now I have a hot, smart English boyfriend of 6 years. He told me that Portland has bits about it that are similar to life in Europe, which after going to the UK and other places, I can kind of see. And while all that is great, at the same time, I really miss my family. Even though they're on the same coast, because I'm in school and work full time, I only see them a few times a year. It's really hard to see them age more and more, especially my parents. Wherever I end up, I'll always want to see and need them. I'm not sure where I would have chosen to grow up. Same place, changed some bits about it. I'll save that for when the appropriate podcast pops up to talk about it. If I could retire anywhere, it would be a lighthouse. I'm open to where. I haven't made any set plans in my life about where I'll live after school, although I do want to buy a house here in Portland, but I don't have any set plans. It would seem silly to be so certain on life, on a life I know nothing about. Bye.
Heidi Townsend. I've known her for some years now, and I must say that she is probably one of the catalysts for this podcast because this episode was brought about by my experience of seeing her in what I imagine to be her element. You know, I remember when she moved to Portland quite some time ago, and I can get really astrological about this too, you know, like deep natal chart stuff, but the place, I mean, with even Morgan, I talk about, okay, if a city had a sun, moon, and rising sign, and this is just deep astrology, whatever, what would it be? And the funny thing is, regardless, I imagine it being compatible with Heidi, because the pace is somewhat slower, and Heidi's always been a pretty relaxed person. She's always been one to appreciate, I guess you could say, the niceties of life. Good food, good people, good vibes, good music. Considering that she has a Taurus, and again, this is also deep stuff, Taurus moon that makes her somewhat Venusian to a degree. I think that there would be some Taurus stuff going on, Taurus and Pisces stuff going on in Portland, because it's pretty imaginative, it's pretty soft, it's pretty compassionate, and slower pace, good food, definitely musical. And I just think it really suits her. And it's really inspiring because it makes me think, you know, like, even though I think about where I would want to be or end up often, it makes me really want to dig in, because it's important to be where you feel a sense of belonging. And Chris touched on that too. You know, you have to kind of have this, not really a rapport with the city, but you have to have this congruence of values. You have to like harmonize with the city in some way. And I looked into astrocartography, which is the study of how astrological placements of one's birth chart affects certain lines geographically. And some of these things do correspond. And they've corresponded with the places that I've either visited or revealed some type of hidden insight into like what made this place work or what made it not. I won't bore you with the details of that, but if you are open to astrology, and I'm not talking about like the daily horoscopes you see in newspapers or what have you, I'm talking about like the real stuff. Maybe we'll talk about it. And because there is some stuff that just happens to correspond accurately. And if I can answer my own survey, well, you know my name and all that stuff. You know my current location is in Whittier in Southern California. Have I ever had the desire to move to another state, city, or country? Of course, and I have. Number four, I've lived in San Francisco, and I've lived in Copenhagen. And I did so because for some reason I was drawn to San Francisco. I like density. And it's a pretty cute city, you know, I'm not going to lie, but it's just a bit too small for me. It's kind of a bubble, kind of a cult in itself. And I liked Copenhagen because I liked Scandinavia. I like cold weather, very cozy. Number five, would I consider myself a relatively sedentary or nomadic? I am absolutely not sedentary. I'm by nature nomadic, and I think that might be a problem. I can picture myself living long-term in a city, but I don't know if about permanently. And I don't know why that is. I think it's because I fear attachments. Closeness, I mean, that this is just very deep stuff. Closeness kind of scares me, but that's for another topic. Number six, where is my birthplace and hometown? I was born in Santa Monica, California, and I was raised in Whittier, California. I think Santa Monica's cool. And the funny thing is, I think it's kind of like a West Coast, Southern California version of Copenhagen, if anything, which maybe says something. Maybe it's in the water. I don't know. Whittier, I've been all over the Western world. You know, as much as I would love to visit Tokyo and all that stuff, at the end of the day, I'm a Westerner. I am from the Western world. I don't have any desire. I don't have any affinity towards anywhere in Africa or anywhere in South America, even though I'm half South American, or Asia of any kind, but I am a Western person, and that's okay. The reason why I bring that up is because I've been to a pretty good chunk of the Western world as far as the cities are concerned. And for some reason, there's something about Whittier. You know, it's people say it has a small town vibe. That can or cannot be the case. That can or may not be the case, I should say, because it's still plugged into everything. What it really has, if anything, is a sense of community, because that kind of community is something you probably see in chunks of big cities, except that there's just, you know, maybe 15% more influx or circulation, you know. I mean, every big city has neighborhood bars. And I think that's probably what Whittier has. And it's cool, but I mean, I can't see myself permanently here. Number seven, do the values of where you are now conflict with your own? What values are not in sync? I think a lot of values here are not of my own. I don't really align with a lot of these things, but I can't deny that I was raised and forged by the values here. Number eight, similarly, what values are or not in sync with your own? And your okay, so that's the one I just answered. Number nine, what does being in a different place offer you? Oh, man. Well, the thing is, I believe you could pretty much spark a career anywhere. Well, that's, I guess, coming from me, which is always attracted to big cities, so I guess no matter where I would go, I'd probably have opportunities for a career or to expand to grow my career. So that's not an issue. This is just concerning big cities. Affinity to a culture. Absolutely. I'm not much of a West Coaster. You know, my disposition is pretty sunny. I do admit. And when I'm in another place that's not very sunny, that's the part that shines, and I can't deny that. So I'm kind of caught in between worlds, but I'd say for me, a big thing is weather. lack of traffic. And don't get me wrong, like for example, New York, London, Berlin, and all that. There's traffic, but I just can't stand sitting in it. I don't mind crowds at all. Give me crowds all day. I'm not a germaphobe at all. I think people who have city clothes and home clothes, sure, yeah, whatever, do your thing. But at the end of the day, to get to past the threshold of disease, I mean, you either have to have a really weak immune system or have to be completely entrenched, just completely saturated in that kind of bacteria. I think people are a little bit too germophobic. Adventure, yeah, I'd say so. I like activity. I like density. I like energy. I just like energy. I'm not really much of a history buff, but that's the thing. It's for example, London, I feel the history. Not that I necessarily research a lot about the history of London, but you could just kind of feel it. It's palpable. And I like that. I like feeling that kind of stuff. Am I a traveler? Yes. And I would be more so of a traveler if I could. 11. How has being in a new location negatively and positively affected you? Well, there is that aspect of loneliness. Sometimes you do feel lonely. Sometimes you could kind of get caught up partying too much. Maybe you'll run with a bad group of friends. That never happened to me. But I know it happened to some people. I'm not that close with my family. There's a few people that I talk to all the time. Obviously, that's definitely my mom. My mom's the closest one to me, and then maybe my grandmother, but otherwise, not very close anymore with my cousins and uncles and stuff like that. Every now and then I'll talk to my dad, but that's about it. There's some friends that, I have a handful that are very near and dear, and that's kind of sad leaving them behind for periods of time. Sometimes I do miss the sun, but even though I hate the heat, sometimes I do miss the sun, and the cold weather gets a little too much. But the positives generally outweigh the negatives, in my opinion, especially if I'm going to some place that I really like. If I could choose, what three places in the world would I choose to have grown up in, live in adulthood, and retire? Okay. Grown up in... Honestly, I think Whittier was a fantastic choice by my parents. That's all I could really come up with. It's just urban enough to be in contact, but just suburban enough to where the funny thing is you say people really bring up the word suburban, but suburbs in other part of our country are different than an LA suburb. LA suburbs are just generally more urban. If you were in a suburb of Colorado, I think that's pretty damn suburban. Excuse me, a suburb of Denver, that's pretty damn suburban in comparison to where I grew up, which is caught in between the worlds of urban and suburban. But I would say grew up in Whittier still. In adulthood, I'd say London or maybe New York City, and retire, probably Copenhagen or somewhere in Denmark. It's just the quality of life is fantastic. And hi til alle. Min danske venner. So, yeah, and that's my little rant on civic compatibility.
Man, you're wearing some Bobos.
And I hope you enjoyed the entertainment, the music, and the wonderful input by my friends from across the country. Until next time, bye.